Now then, as I say, I can't hide the fact that I've been on a Christian cruise. It was a Christian cruise. It wasn't a cruise that was Christian themed, that went to a few places. We ate, drank and slept Christianity for 14 nights. You know who the speakers were? Lord Carey, Marion's new friend George, the ex-Archbishop of Canterbury. And actually, if you're listening, George, anywhere, you'll know very well that I've nicked part of this sermon from you. He gave three Bible studies, along with two communions, and numerous other things, apart from else being also the church chaplain to people to go to, along with another lady minister during the course. So end of my set today, and a few examples like Keith used to have, that he used to get from his book, and one thing or another, there'll be, as it comes to my mind, what happened on the cruise. So we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4. On the cruise, we started off in Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, Patmos, 4 days in the Holy Land, Malta, Rome. You can see I could have picked almost anything. And on the second trip with Ephesus, we've been to Ephesus before, but I'll tell you more about that, but we didn't go to the same spot this time. So we'll look at God's word, which is what we're here for, not my word. Paul writing from prison, writes this from prison, and we get worried and we can't, if the bus is late, don't we? As a prisoner for the Lord, which he was, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. With all those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ have been called and you've been received. And I'm never sure who is received, who is not. And somebody asked me how many Christians are on the actual Christians are on the cruise. It was only about 400 altogether, the cruise. And I thought I'd use Matthew's description, because we started to do the breaking of bread on Sunday morning, and so we're not sure who may want to partake of that or not. Matthew said, Neil said last week, if you're not, the breaking of the bread is for those who love and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. End of story. That's it. So you know then, whether you love or trust the Lord, you know then whether that's for you. So based on that, I thought, well, there must have been at least 350 Christians on the cruise. When we went to have the communion, they ran out. Because normally you don't do communions on cruises. You might get a service, 20 people arrive and they're dead. And they ran out, and the second time they got smarter and they got more helpers. So basically, I use that as a sort of, if you like, for us, benchmark of where we are. So on the cruise were all these people. And now it says here, be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing up with one another in love. A great one for encouragement. And we were, Marilyn said, the old Archbishop, bless him, great evangelical, we went through sermons, messages, different things, we chatted to him just like anybody else, nothing special. And as we were leaving on the last morning, having our breakfast and wondering how long it would be before we got off, he walked past. Morning, Marilyn, morning, Ray. Do you remember? Yeah? Good lad. I've come to thank you for encouraging me. Now then, that's the Archbishop of Canterbury. Millions of Anglicans respond, he has his concern on. And he finds time to come to two people and say thanks. And one thing I didn't mention was that Helen's friend is the niece of Lord Carey, and she had a baby, and she was here at Matthew's induction. And Helen said, and she said, you've got to tell my Uncle George, when you see him, he's got a new niece. So we did. That was our message to him. And he knew about it, but we were giving him more information than he knew. So I suppose you can say, with that, he connected with us, because he kept, every time he saw us, he would always think about, you know, the child again. The child is precious. And so he was very, very humble. Keith, you'll never know a more humble man than Keith, and I'm sure Matthew will follow the same way. It's a great example. We need to bear that as a fellowship, to be humble before the Lord. And it says here also, we had a on board ship, there was a lady, 90, as Hilda would say, in the Lord's departure lounge. Isn't that right, Hilda? Said to me, in a wheelchair. And she had a daughter with her, who was a spinster, about 60. And she started to talk to us because they lived near our dwarf in London. And this lady cruised 500 nights on Saga. She's famous. You gotta give her a medal or something over there. But the daughter was a little bit naive, shall we say, but lovely. So she'd come, and the room was put out this big, to all the services, and she'd come along with the wheelchair right at the last minute. They're all sat in, waiting. Along she comes, Sandra, and she just puts her wheelchair in it, and they're all looking, you know. So we got friendly with her. And we were always early, as you know. And the man said, look out for Joyce coming. And we look out for Joyce. And I Joyce, move me to her. And people were feeling sorry for us. Why are you moving? They always do it. Because the Lord isn't on that cross, that's why. It's the grace that we have through Him. And they couldn't, and all right through the cruise. Why have you adopted him almost? Even on the last day we were leaving. Who's going to help me off the train? Who's going to help me off the boat, right? Because you're getting off earlier. Well, somebody did, of course. But I hope we left a great impression on that lady. And she didn't look as though she had much. Now let me tell you, you can't go on a Saga cruise unless you've saved up. And if you're like us, on Saga, Marilyn and I would belong to the youth club. The rest of them are older than us. 90s, nothing. And we got talking to this one. She looked like she had nothing. And we got talking to her at dinner. And the husband knew his name, he's dead. And he'd been a top man in the government. Responsible for the national debt. You know, a really intelligent lady. But because they saw her in the wheelchair, an inconvenience. Well, we don't want the Lord to be an inconvenience, particularly when we come to mission. It's all about mission. We need to be strong in the mission. When people come through that door, we don't want to look what they're wearing, where they come from. All we want them to see in us is Jesus reflected. And for us to do the same, he said, right, come in, whatever. They might be noisy, we might not be used to them, but we've got to do it. So then it says here, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called before you were called one Lord. Oh, no, I've jumped a bit. Right, keep the peace. It says here, to keep the peace. Well, I went to the Wailing Wall when I was interviewed, and I've lost my hat again. They gave me one, the other hat the Jews wear. They gave me a hat and I lost it. And I went to the Wailing Wall. I didn't realise we could go to the Wailing Wall, but you can. It's more security than going through Manchester Airport, but you can get there. And very sensible, the Jews, they have the women and men separate. So, the women, they didn't give the men women much sight either. So in we go, and what the guide said to me, I said, is it okay, can we go? This wall? Of course you can. I said, sure, no problem. When you go, he says, will you please pray for peace? All I ask you. You know? And the Jews, as Lord Carey said, are older brothers. But pray for peace for us. Tell them that we're not all fighting. Tell them that we're not all like the papers see that we are. And I went to the Wailing Wall and I prayed for peace. But then we come to the next bit. We've got that with individually, and now we come to individual and collective. It says here from verse 4-6, keep the spirit in the bond of peace, for there is one body, one Spirit, just as when you were called to one hope, you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There are seven. There are seven ones there. One body, that's the fellowship of the church. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us. One hope, the future that we have with the Lord. One Lord, Christ, in whom we believe. One faith, our commitment to Jesus. One baptism, entry into the church, and one God forever in eternity. If seven, you can go home and ponder about. Because I pondered about them on these screws. Because it was all, he preached similar to this. And the seven blessings there, I know seven is meant to be the perfect number. I don't think it means anything in this context. People might say there are seven. But the seven ones, but those seven ones become one in the church. Once we come in here, we're not 50 people. We're one, or we should be one in here with the Lord. And that's what we need to show when we come to mission. We're all individuals. I can't do your work, you can't do mine. And we often think, don't we, somebody else has it good. We always think somebody else has had a great life. And then suddenly somebody will come and you'll find them upset. And you find that they are troubled by something that's been quite private in many instances. Yeah, including ourselves. And then you share it. And then you realise how close your brothers are and sisters when they come to you and just put an arm on you. Or say, we understand because we've been there. You cannot do this. You cannot walk for somebody else. Talking of walks, when we're on the cruise, Palmares, who does songs of praise, and I may have nicked this off her or even off Keith. We were talking about being on the cruise, and you've got a lot of people who are really struggling to walk. And they do their very best to make sure they don't miss anything. But there's somebody moans. They're holding it up, they're doing this. She said, I have a story to tell you. Now, I think this is true. There's a lady on the cruise, and she said, she was always holding them up. We're rather late on the bus. She said, I'm very sorry. I've been holding you up. Really sorry. But I have to tell you that I bought this cruise with my son a year ago. And we were coming on this cruise, he said, and he was ill. So he couldn't come. So I decided I would come in his place. As well, I'd rather leave him, but I'll come. She said, the reason I'm walking slowly round the sites, my shoes are a bit too big for me because they're my son's. They have these trainers. But these are my son's shoes I'm walking in. And when I get back, I'm going to say, he'll want to know what's been going on, because we now know that he will die before long with his cancer. He's got cancer now. She said, and I thought, right, I will go home and say to him, I've been around the Holy Land, and I'll tell you all the tales, just like we told the people who's going. And I'll take it off, and I'll give you my shoes. And you can put your shoes on your feet, son, and you can imagine when you're reading your Bible, you're walking in the Holy Land. Now that brought me to tears, and I thought to myself, wow, here's me wondering if I'm stuck in the supermarket queue. I can't get my shoe on, don't worry. And this lady, and I couldn't believe it. And I think that is a true story. I don't think it's one of the sorts of. But we can't walk in somebody else's shoes, can we? We can only walk for ourselves. And so then come to, I know when we were in Ephesus, we also had a communion. Talking about unity in the church. And when we got there, we realised that the Catholic site, where Mary supposed to have lived, etc., etc., the Vatican blessed it and all the rest of it. And they decided to fix this communion for us. So when we got there, I'll get in here on this Sunday morning, there was only one bus of us, some began to realise what the guy had said. This is like when we said Catholic mass, it's like. But I worked that out myself before we got there. What we're going to do. So I said to the, you don't have to guess who got the job of sorting. I said to the guy, you need to speak to somebody. So they go and get a Catholic priest, a young Polish man. So he comes to me and I said, look, for the purpose of this conversation, we're Anglicans. I said, and we uphold the communion. I said, but when we take the communion, We don't see it exactly as you do. We see symbols. Bread and wine is a symbol of the Lord's death until he comes again. Catholics see it, they believe it's actually the blood and the body, physical blood and body of Christ. It's called transubstantiation. Are you listening, Matthew? And I say, if that's a problem for you, please say so. And he said, no, it's not a problem for me, brother. I said, right. So I told them all. I said, it's not a problem. I said, okay, I'm going in. And then we went. And they all followed us. Somebody was muttering about me about, I mean, because we had breaking a bed later on the ship with Lord Carey, and she was muttering something about, I'm doing it twice in one day, and I don't know what that was about. Anyway, it's Anglican, I know. And so we went in. And the room, about as big as our worship room, and we're all crowded in. And he got one of the crew's guys to read the lesson. He gave a very simple homily about unity. Thank us all for coming. In the Catholic Church, and they don't join the priest as the wine. So the words were passed around. And I sat there and I didn't have to worry about in my head, because I know where I was. You are where you are. Many of us have obviously been in Catholic cathedrals, you've been to Rome and places like that. You don't have to. You know, you can just be where you are. And we were where we were. I have to say, it came out, it was a bit like Blackpool, it came out, put all the buses in it, right? It was wonderful. We brought bread, we remembered the Lord until he came. I wasn't worried about what anybody else might think about it. That's me and Marilyn making our choices and standing for the Lord, and we did that. So that's another one where you can't do for yourself. Others were more worried about traditions. And one day, of course, we'll all know one day. As Matthew said the other week, before he came, he'd done the breaking of bread at 20 different churches as an itinerant preacher, and they all did it differently, and they were all right. Can you see where I'm coming from? But anyway, so we'll move on from there. And so now, so we've gone through the seven then, it says here, by God, are you alright till 12? But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. You see, that was the grace that I was trying to talk about earlier with the wheelchair and with a lady, with a son. That's grace. And Keith was always very, very gracious. Sometimes, it doesn't take long to get upset sometimes, really. And I thought, what a wonderful verse to take away for all of you. You've all been apportioned some grace. When this mission comes, Helen's asked for help, and she'll get it. And now, when we come in for the week, every time it's a challenge. But we need to see the grace of God. And now, in our neighbours, this week, as I've just told you, my next door neighbour's dying. She was a lovely Christian, I'm not sure whether family standard normally says they were babies. It's like these little ones here, never like this, and hot shot lawyer with big car, with more than this chapel. And they'll be looking to us, I think, for some sort of help which they've already had. And that's the grace. But then he says here, this is why, he says here, when he ascended on high, he led captives in their train and gave gifts to men. And this is a direct quotation from Psalm 68. And it's where he was leading them out of captivity and winning, you know. That's the best I can do with that one. When it says it, what does the ascended mean except that he descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than the holy heavens in order to fill the whole universe. In other words, when he was on the cross, at that time when he was dead, we don't know where we can only assume where he was. It says to the lower regions, it might have been the earth, it could have been anywhere. The Bible's not very clear at that. I've looked at one or two studies of them either. But the thing is, the Lord went down so we could be lifted up. You know? So we could be lifted up, and also, not only that, as he went down, he also ascended. So Matthew's very hot on ascension. I want to even preach more about it, because I think we don't preach enough about it. It's the one thing that's the hardest to understand. You can work out the cross, they're all crucified on the cross for 10 a penny. It's the Romans' favourite game almost. But there's only one who rose again. And that's the secret of our faith. That's the bit that's different than anybody else. We love the Lord, the risen Lord, and don't ever forget that. He is the very one to fill the heaven. Then he says, to give us gifts then, some to be apostles, prophets, Sunday school teachers, cleaners, builders, stage builders, Dave, whatever. Office builders for the pastor, build Dave, another one. I'm listening for you, brother. These are your gifts. I don't want yours, you see. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can do others. I can organise things, hopefully do bits of it. Every one of us, the Lord is challenging you, and he's going to challenge you more. Because you've got to get down and think about this. It's a serious business. We see, as we see later now here, how the world is going on around us. We have no government now that's on our side. We see more acts about to be passed that are totally against God's law. And not only, Mr. Cameron is now telling us this week, not only is he going to pass all those acts, he wants to spread it abroad. Do not be dismayed. There's one higher than him. We get down at it, down in the morning, oh, Lord, not another. But just remember that. And John told me the other day, I've heard about it since, the morning programme, radio lecture of the week, secular society, oh, I'm a Gideon, Dave's a Gideon, wanted to ban the Bible in the schools. And they're doing it in a big way. And there's websites now. If you're going on holiday, ask for a room with no Bible. And if it is there, destroy it. Deface it. This is on the internet now. This is what we're going to. What we arrived at. As you sow, so shall you reap. But we are a little corner of great harvest. This is our bit. I've said it before. Never mind what the world's on about. We've got to preach that gospel that we believe. Because then it says here, we'll be pastors, teachers to prepare and God's people for works of service. We mentioned service already. To be built up until the knowledge of the Son of God becomes mature, attained to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What if we got that, which we try and strive for all the time, then we're in a better picture, we're in a better place ourselves to resist the headlines in the papers, to resist the things on the television. It says here, we will be to become mature. That when we no longer be like infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of the teaching and cunning and craftiness of men in the deceitful scheming. Well, we know that was written a long time ago, 2,000 years ago almost. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed, has it? Man's nature hasn't changed. They're still cunning and deceitful. In sport, and like I am to sport, they're deceitful. The drugs, they can't win faithful, they can't win fairly. And if a guy does win fairly, they think he'd be cheated because nobody trusts him anymore. And it's the same with the world, we go forever. But banks and all, we go till we get mad. He says here, don't be tossed about by all that. By all means, we have to live with this. As a church, we have to be responsible to look after those in our flock who are suffering. But instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up to him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, 1, 2, 3, 4, all you, and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I've seen we're great unity here. It's all been preached. Love and unity. And when it's watched word over, that's what it would be. But it's not been achieved necessarily easily. I'm sure, and I'm a new boy, I've only been here 10 years. Keith will tell you more about the things we've done. I had to do sometimes to sort things out. But grace abounds more, I hope, to bring people to us and to work with them. But you know, we haven't to be complacent. I've seen it in my local village church. A pastor there, who I know very well. I'm not arguing the right or wrong what went on. But he's a lovely man, he preaches God's word. But he's had to leave, because he's upset part of the congregation. Now, somewhere in that, there'll be both sides of the story, there always is. But I want to come back to that five-letter word, grace. Where is grace in all this? They're meant to be Christians. They walk in. Well, I put some notes at the front, but I ignored them. When we walk in that door, get right here, not bad. Huh? Bit of Marks and Spencers, okay. Tie on this morning, because they're at the front. And they all see me walk in, and they'll see me walk out. They'll say, oh, you walk in and walk out. But you know, so they see you walk in, they see you walk out. But you know, when you're coming in, how you feel. And you know, when you go out, how you feel. They still see you exactly the same. But if you come to each meeting, and we might come with a lowly heart, sometimes we do, don't we? Obviously. Sometimes we might come with a rebellious heart, for all I know. But I just said to you earlier in the beginning about this surprise blessings. I do hope that you've had a surprise blessing somewhere today. That we are following the Lord, that we are telling the truth as we see it. We've received the truth. The scriptures tell us that we have to pass it on. It's my new Bible, so I don't know me. This is my Gideon. Oh, can you see that? For all people now, that. That's the big trim. I just want to find one scripture for you. I can leave you with it. You know this one well enough anyway. But this is the scripture I want to leave with you. For the mission. Romans 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, and then the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And I hope this morning, if you know the Lord, that you've been encouraged again to live by righteousness. If you don't know the Lord, you're not sure, please talk to me or any of the people that you might know here that will help you. Don't leave this room without being sure that you know where you stand.